Thanks to everyone who helped with that. Joshua, thank you so much for reading the words of Jesus. That's wonderful. How's that coming through sound-wise? That okay? All right, very good. Well, if you can see up here, this year we are going to be celebrating Eastertide. And I don't think the word tide has anything to do with the literally tide in the ocean. I think it's more a word for time, but that's a beautiful picture that brings us two together. It's a season of the year leading up to Pentecost. And I anticipate every Sunday during Easter 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, all the way up to Pentecost, we're going to be looking at a different time when we encounter in the Scriptures the resurrected Lord. And we may even get into the book of Acts and see the resurrected Lord in the form of the Holy Spirit. And this is a way of coming to understand this God we know, Jesus Christ, who we relate to every single day, who guides us and leads us, convicts us, encourages us. And when we see Jesus in Scripture, it gives us insight in how to follow him in life. Well, the story here today, we are reminded again of how easy it is to forget the so what of the resurrection. I mean, last Sunday we were all here for Easter. We're celebrating the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We're saying the Lord is risen. We all say, Lord is risen indeed. But it's like I said last Sunday, I believe that so many of us struggle with what does this mean? What difference does this make in our lives? And if you were here last week, we talked about how there's a certain way these stories can become so familiar to us that we build up some sense of immunity to them, where we have just enough of them, like a vaccination, that we have a small dose of it, so we build up an immunity to it and don't get the full expression, the full viral experience of what it means to know Jesus. It impacts all of our lives and that becomes contagious to other people wherever we go, where it goes viral in us. And I think it's important to keep asking that question. So what does this mean for our lives? I really believe Romans 8, that same power that raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. That's what's available. It's an incredible thing, the resurrection power living within you. When in John, Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. His very identity is resurrection. That which is dead is now alive. And when that lives within you, it changes your whole perspective on life. That there are times, as the hope of Jesus, the resurrection lives within you, as you encounter people in the world in which we live, there are situations where other people are going to have no hope, and you're going to have hope. That there's going to be a contrast. And if we're not careful, we can easily just get washed along and start seeing the world in the hopeless ways that everyone else does. But the resurrection power living within you causes you to see things differently. It reminds me of a situation that these are people none of you know, but it's a couple, a married couple, who are struggling right now in their marriage. And their parents are deeply concerned about them. And they are praying fervently for this couple, their daughter and her husband, praying for healing in their marriage. And it looks like it's all is lost. And the other week they sat down, the divorce papers were all drawn up, and they came to the attorney's office. They were going to sign the papers, but they couldn't do it. They couldn't do it. Now, we don't know where this all goes. We don't know what's going to happen, but there's people praying. And from the perspective of the world, you might as well say, you know what, marriages sometimes end in divorce, so be it. Just make sure everybody stays okay and make sure the kids are all right and just move along and no big deal. And those who love and care for these folks say, no, we are crying out to Jesus. That same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, we pray that resurrection power in this marriage. I don't know where it's going to end up. But we look forward to seeing what God will do. What God will do. And maybe the time will come where these folks will be sharing their story. Who knows? But resurrection power teaches us to see life where other people say it's dead. Because Jesus is risen, it changes our perspective on everything. You know, the story, there's a quote, a poem by the poet Maya Angelou. And she says, when people show you who they are, you should believe them. You ever hear that poem? Now, it's not necessarily from a Christian perspective. What she basically means is if you're dating somebody and they are verbally abusive to you, they're showing you who they are. And sometimes we believe, well, they'll change after we get married, something like that. No, when people show you who they are, you should believe them. And yet we believe in the power of God to transform lives, so we always have hope. But I want to take that same point to look at the scriptures. When in the scriptures, Jesus shows us who he is. He shows us who he is in the scriptures, in the gospels. Believe him. The scriptures also show you and I as human beings who we are. Shows our sinful nature. The Bible shows us who we are. Believe it. And in the story of the Emmaus Road, I believe we are shown very clearly who we are and who Jesus is. And it begins with this whole sense of, here's Cleopas and his companion. We don't know who these, we never hear of Cleopas anywhere else. But think about what's happened. These guys, they were not part of the, Cleopas was not one of the 12 disciples, but he was a follower of Jesus. He loved Jesus. And the crucifixion and all that went on there disturbed him greatly. And he was so disturbed that Cleopas and his friend, they went on this journey away from Jerusalem to this town of Emmaus, 7 miles away. And they were distraught, they were confused, they were discouraged, they were disappointed. I want to invite you to put yourself in the situation, in the shoes of Cleopas and his companion this morning. It's all of us. It's all of us at one time or another. It's as if Derek, come on up again. I'm not going to actually do this to you, Derek, but if I were to blindfold Derek and I would spin you around in circles and say, all right, now I want you to walk to the back of the church, you would struggle to do so, wouldn't you?
A little bit.
Yeah, okay. Thanks. You can go back to your seat. Do you ever play those games where they blindfold you and spin you around and tell you to walk in a straight line? It's pretty tough, isn't it?
Yeah.
I really believe that what happened to Cleopas in our story is he was trying to follow Jesus, but life had just spun him around. Spun him around. And you know what that's like trying to walk when you're dizzy. And Cleopas and his friend were so confused that what they did was they actually walked away from the place of strength. In our story here in Luke, Jerusalem is the place of strength. Jerusalem is the place where they are encountering others who have seen the resurrected Christ. That's where they're supposed to be at this moment, in Jerusalem. But because they are so discombobulated, they head in the other direction. They're heading toward Emmaus. And I really believe that happens so easily for each and every one of us, that when life spins us around, we may not even realize it. We start moving away from the place of strength. Moving away from God's people. Moving away in a cynical kind of spirit. Saying, well, yeah, people let you down. Yeah, how about those 12 disciples? Yeah, how do they hold up? This Jesus, I put my hope in him, and look how that ended up. They're moving away from the source of strength to the place of Emmaus. And the good news of this story, and we see it all throughout Scripture, is when we're doing that, God is so faithful to come after us. You see it in the story of the shepherd who leaves the 99 and goes looking for the lost sheep. You see it in the story of the woman who lost her penny and she turns her house upside down looking for the lost coin. You see it in the story of the prodigal son. The son went off to a faraway country and squandered his wealth. And the father is watching intently every day. Where is he? Is he coming home? And when the father sees him coming, he picks up his robes and he runs in a very undignified way to greet his son. The long arm of the Lord, God comes after us. And what we see here is this image of here's Jesus all of a sudden walking alongside his disciples. There's the Emmaus Road. By the way, you can tell a story from the scriptures that really captures the imagination of people by how much art is on the internet representing that story. There are so many incredible paintings of the story of Emmaus Road. It's an incredible story. But Jesus comes alongside of them and they don't know it's him. He comes alongside. You know, the word that's used for the Holy Spirit is paraclete. It means the counselor. It also can be interpreted as saying the one who comes alongside to help. This is a beautiful picture of the way the Holy Spirit relates to you and I, coming alongside to help and talking to them, and they do not realize it's Jesus at that moment. And I really think it's really instructive to us as we attempt to be obedient and responsive to the Holy Spirit, that when the Holy Spirit's speaking to us, you don't always realize it at that moment, that it was God. That's been my experience. And I think when we talk about God speaking to us, I mean, at least for me in my experience, I'm not always certain it's God. There's times where I'll sense a nudging to do something, and I'm not sure if it's just bad indigestion or if it's the Holy Spirit. And yet you learn to step out, and then as you reflect back, you say, I think that was the Holy Spirit. Or sometimes you say, well, maybe that wasn't. But we learn to recognize the voice of God oftentimes by reflecting back with hindsight, where you can see more clearly, that was the Lord. And that's how the disciples experienced it here. It was later, after they knew it was Jesus, they said, remember how that felt. Didn't our hearts burn within us? Jesus was speaking to us. We weren't sure of it at the time, but now we know it was. And I always think back to that once, the story in my life. I've told this story many times, but when I really sensed God speaking to me and saying, you're to quit your teaching job and go back to school. And when Jen woke up the next morning, I told her what I was sensing during the night. She says, well, let's just continue to pray about this. And we prayed about it and talked to others about it. And we discerned this for a period of 6 months until we thought, well, we're still not exactly sure, but we're going to go for it. Now, that was 16 years ago. And I can say with 16 years' perspective that, yes, I believe more and more certainly with each passing year that that was the voice of the Holy Spirit. But it's so important for us to be able to think back to times where we are certain we've heard from God, recall what that felt like, keep stepping out. Sometimes you'll get it wrong. Sometimes you'll get it right. That's the journey of living the Christian life, of learning the Spirit of God wants to speak to us. But you don't always know it at the time. But it's an exciting adventure to trial and error to learn. And God's grace is so sufficient for us when we get it wrong. God wants to speak to us. God wants to be understood. And here he is coming alongside, instructing these disciples. And here's the next point I think that's so amazing here. The disciples are walking along. So many different wonderful expressions of this story. And Jesus begins to explain to them the scriptures, beginning with Moses and working through the prophets. And I've seen it listed somewhere. Some people, we don't know exactly what scriptures he was referring to, but we can have a pretty good idea. And he explained to them how the scriptures showed that Jesus would come and he would have to die and then he'd be raised from the dead. And he explained the scriptures to them over the 7-mile journey. I did a little map questing. It's about 7 miles from here out to Shady Maple, out to Blue Ball. It's about 7 miles. I think I've got that right. That's a long walk. Walking all the way from here, you ought to walk to Shady Maple. If you're going to eat at Shady Maple, you ought to walk there and walk back. Isn't that right? That's 7 miles. That's a long way. And during that time, they're talking together, and he's explaining, opening the scriptures to them. It's a wonderful thing to think about. We need the scriptures in order to understand Jesus. But we also need Jesus in order to understand the scriptures. That if you simply read the scriptures without the Holy Spirit guiding you and speaking to you, that's when we can end up using the scriptures as sort of a weapon. And sometimes if you go on social media, you'll see that happen. That's one of the places you'll see it, where people use the scriptures to clobber one another. Using the Word of God without the fruit of the Spirit. The encouragement I would have for us is when you read the Bible, come before God and say, Holy Spirit, I can't understand this without you guiding me, opening it up to me. And that's when it becomes alive, where the same scripture you've read 1,000 times, on the 1,001st time, the Holy Spirit has the ability to open it up in a whole new way for you to your situation right now. That's the beauty of this book, but it's also the incredible beauty of the Holy Spirit who teaches us all things. We need the scriptures to understand Jesus, but we need the Spirit of Jesus to understand the scriptures. They go together. They go together, Word and Spirit. And there for a while, we were doing dwelling in the Word. And I remember you, it was you, Lloyd, who said, you'd like to call it dwelling in the Word and Spirit. It's so true. We need the Word and Spirit together. The Word and Spirit. As they are walking along on this journey, they come to this place where they've been having an amazing time. They still don't know it's Jesus. But they're growing in insights, and they come to Emmaus, and Jesus does not presume to stay with them. They're going to stop for the night, and he's going to go on. And the disciples look to Jesus, and they say, why don't you stay with us? Share a meal with us. Stay with us tonight. And Jesus says, yes, I will. And Jesus comes into the house and breaks bread with them, has a meal with them, and it's in that space of an intimate setting over a meal where their eyes are open and they know it's Jesus. And this is, I think, the most important part of this story, where for all of us, there's a level at which we can live the Christian life. There's one level where you can understand with your mind, you can understand the scriptures, you can understand who Jesus is, you can believe in the resurrection, but then there's this whole other experience of intimate fellowship with Jesus Christ, the living, resurrected Lord living within you, that not everyone experiences because it takes extra effort. But that's where the real beauty lies in the Christian life. That's where the Christian life becomes fulfilling. It reminds me of when our family goes to the beach in Delaware. And everybody goes to the main beaches, like Rehoboth and Henlopen State Park. That's where the crowds are and the boardwalks are and the bathhouses are. But the other year, my sister, she said, I want to go to Fowler Beach. I said, where's Fowler Beach? She said, you got to know where you're going. She said, someone else showed us where this is. And you go back these back roads in Delaware, you're out in the fields, you're away from all the commerce and the tourism stuff, and you go back and you come to this little place and you park your car and you get out and you walk over this rickety bridge and you come out to a seashell beach where no one else goes. And we had some of the most extraordinary experiences as a family out there collecting rocks and shells, and there's no one else out there. It took a lot of extra effort to get there. And not everyone gets there, but when you do, it's the most beautiful thing, and it's so much better than the other beaches. Now, you may or may not agree with that. That's okay. The point of the story is that the place of intimacy with Jesus Christ, it takes a decision, a conscious decision, to go to that place where so many don't go. But that's where the real treasures are. And that's what these guys found out as they actually entered into a relationship with Jesus Christ over the table. Then their eyes were opened. And the encouragement to every one of us is, don't settle for the Christian life that just everyone else is content with. Pursue something deeper. Go out to the seashell beach that takes the extra roads to get there. That's the relationship with Jesus Christ in which you receive at a deeper level, where he blesses you and where you know him as not just Savior and Lord, but as friend, as beloved one. You know, that it's been said that a friend will always get so much more done than a laborer. If you're just a hired hand, you'll do your job. But if you are working for your Father, you are going to be motivated in such a deeper way because of the love relationship. That's the wonderful thing about the Christian life. You know, after the disciples found out it was Jesus, this is the part of the story that I had never quite registered before. It's dark. They're eating supper. It's time to stop for the night. They've been walking all day. They're tired. And when they find out that they've been with the resurrected Jesus and he disappears from their sight, they are so motivated by this reality that they run, walk. I don't know how they did it, but at that very hour, they went right back to Jerusalem, that 7 miles. They went right back to Blue Ball, all the way through New Holland on Route 23. 7 miles. They were so excited. And they found the other disciples, and they said, we've seen Jesus. And the others said, the Lord's also appeared to Simon. And they began sharing with one another their encounters with the resurrected Jesus. That's the place of strength. That we were never intended to be off on our own little experiences with Jesus. No, you take those experiences, you come together as God's people, we encourage one another when we share with one another the ways God is at work in our lives. And I think it's when you have a close relationship with Jesus Christ, you will be naturally drawn to be with God's people. And that's what we see happening with Cleopas and his companion. We've seen the Lord. We got to get with God's people. And they went running back to Jerusalem. I think it's a wonderful challenge for all of us. Get to know Jesus in a close, vibrant, personal relationship with him. But that relationship will move you to tell the story to all who will listen and to be with other people who are experiencing the same thing. That's the vision for the church. And may that be our experience. And I just look forward so much to the next 7 weeks as we encounter story after story from the scriptures about the resurrected Lord who lives within each of us and gives us life and hope in a real contrast to the perspectives of the world around us. May that be your experience. Lord God, thank you that you've given us the scriptures, but we thank you even more that you've given us your Holy Spirit to understand. We confess that on our own, we can't understand your word. But you've given us the presence of your Holy Spirit to explain to us as we walk this journey of life. Help us to not settle for the path of least resistance, but to go out of our way to make time to know you in a deeper way, to experience the richness of fellowship with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.